very much appreciate the prayer that's gone before. I ask you, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the fifth chapter, the book of James. James chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 11. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, that is, full of compassion, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. If the Lord would bless me for a little while this morning, I'd like to speak to you on the topic of patience. The topic of patience. James starts out here and he says that ye have heard of the patience of Job. It's very important to remember the things that we've heard. It's very important to be able to call those things to mind. And James here is reminding them and reminding us that we have heard of the patience of Job. So we need to be reminded of things such as this. I've made the point previously that men are very forgetful beings, that we do forget things on many occasions, and we need to be reminded of those things over and over again. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said that he would be a good minister of Jesus Christ if he would put the people in remembrance of these things. The gospel minister is to stand before the Lord's people and to remind them again and again of the promises of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. That's the purpose of the gospel minister, that he might comfort the hearts of the Lord's people. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, you're going to be a good minister if you put them in remembrance. Sometimes I may preach things that I've mentioned before. I may do that on occasion. And I liked very much Elder Danny Parker's illustration last week. When we sit down to a natural meal, and yes, even though it's something that we've had before, we go ahead and eat that meal, don't we? And we enjoy it, and we take nourishment from that. Well, our spiritual meals are not any different from that. We sometimes can enjoy and need to eat the same things over and over again. I ate mashed potatoes last night. I can't tell you how many times I've had mashed potatoes. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the doctrine of election and the doctrines of grace. Do you see what I'm saying, dear friends? Sometimes we need to be reminded, and it's okay to be reminded of those things. And Paul said, you're going to be a good minister if you put them in remembrance of these things. Paul also wrote to the Corinthian brethren, and he said that they would be saved if they kept in memory those things which he had preached unto them. So James is now writing, and he's saying that you have heard of the patience of Job. He's bringing this to our remembrance, if you will. Remembering things that we've heard will sometimes help in times of discouragement, will sometimes help in times of difficulty. You might remember where John the Baptist was cast into prison, and he sent word back to Christ. And he said, are you the Messiah, or do we look for another? And Christ sent word back to John, and he said, go tell John again. You see, Christ even saw the importance of reminding John the Baptist at that time that he might be comforted in his time of discouragement. Jonah had a very similar experience. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Dear friends, there's a great benefit to remembering certain things. And so he's saying, you have heard. That is, it's now time to remember what you have heard. And that is specifically the patience of Job. But he goes on to say in verse 11 here that you've not only heard of the patience of Job, but you have seen the end of the Lord. You see, there's a difference between hearing and seeing. Seeing is to more fully understand. Seeing is to be able to apply some deeper thought and meditation and then understand what you've heard, if you will. And so I believe James here is saying not only have you heard, but you've also understood in the story of the patience of Job and the end of the Lord. There's a greater benefit to not only hearing, but also seeing and understanding. There's a greater assurance that comes with that. But the question might be, well, why should we note this? Why is he bringing this up now that we have heard the patience of Job? I believe that there is an important reason for noting this here, and that is because when difficulty comes, we need to call in, if you will, all the help that we have at our disposal. We need to be able to look at examples that have gone on before or examples of those that have lived around us and be able to call on those examples in our times of need that we might be able to act as those examples. And that's why he's bringing up Job here. He's saying Job is an example, and now in this point of difficulty, whatever you're facing here and your impatience, you now can equip yourself by remembering the patience of Job, drawing on that example, if you will, equipping yourselves with patience. One commentator said regarding patience that it's a grace that is as difficult as it is necessary. It's as difficult, that is, it's very hard to be patient, isn't it? But it's very difficult, but it's also very necessary. So the question might then become, well, Brother Nathan, what is patience? Well, patience is not laziness. Patience is not slothfulness. Some have that mentality, perhaps, or that belief. They'll say, well, just be patient. And to them, that might mean just sit around and kind of twiddle your thumbs and wait for things to happen, if you will. But patience is not slothfulness. Patience is not laziness. In fact, we find Paul writing in Hebrews chapter 6 that we are to be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul exhorts us to run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, dear friends, that there is a running that goes hand in hand with patience. There's an activity that goes with patience. Patience is not inactivity, but patience is rather an endurance in the right activity. That's probably the most simple way I can state it this morning. Patience is keep on going and enduring in the right activity. And so that's what patience is, and patience is a very valuable thing for the people of God. Notice here in our text it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Patience is going to make you happy. The more patience you have in your life, the happier you're going to be. Who wants to be a little bit more happier today? I'd like to be a little more happier. Well, one way I'm going to be happier is to have this valuable thing in my life that's called patience. It's very valuable to the people of God. In fact, if you turn over to James chapter 1 and verse 4 this morning, we see James write also here about the valuableness of patience. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, there's a completeness that comes in being patient to the child of God. So it's something that is very valuable to us. It's something that is very needed in the life of the child of God. Paul wrote to the Hebrew brethren in chapter 10 and verse 36, and he says that ye have need of patience. And you might remember how Peter wrote a very long list of things that we're to add to our faith. And he said to add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. You see, this all paints the picture of patience being a very important thing to the child of God. Paul also wrote to Timothy about the qualifications of a minister. And he said that a bishop, that is an elder or a minister, a bishop is to be patient. That's something that I struggle with on many occasions. But that's a qualification of the minister, that they are to be patient. But superseding all of that, patience is a characteristic of God. Paul says in Romans, the God of patience. That tells me that patience is a part of God's character. And we're supposed to emulate. We're supposed to be disciples of the Lord. We're supposed to be living as closely as possible to the characteristics of God. And so that too shows that it's very necessary in our lives. If God is the God of patience, then we ought to be men and women of patience. And James here is saying, now you've heard of the patience of Job. In fact, there's a threefold exhortation here in the verses preceding. In verse 7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. So we have two admonitions there. And then in verse 8, he goes on to say, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So he's giving us this threefold exhortation. So the message of James here is be patient, be patient, be patient. It's certainly, as I said, something that we need. It's something we need in our life. It's something that I need in my life. So many times I just want to rush ahead in the wrong direction. So many times I don't want to continue doing what I know might be right because I'm worried I'm going to miss out on something else. But when I run ahead like a bull in a china closet, how many opportunities have I really missed? How many privileges have I missed out on? How many opportunities have I missed to greater glorify the Lord in my life because of my impatience? How many times have I failed to be the shining light of discipleship in my community because I've been impatient? Dear friends, James is writing us here and he's saying, be patient, be patient, be patient. You say, well, why is he exhorting us three times? Well, it's most certain because we're going to need it in the future. He's writing, helping in the future. Dear child of God, there's no guarantee that between here and heaven, you're going to have a smooth road. There's no guarantee that you're going to be without troubles here in this life, without tribulations and without trials. We're going to have those times. As one commentator said, he said that there's no guarantee that we're going to be as a flower in a greenhouse that's shielded from the frost of the winter and shielded from the burning sun in the summer. There's no guarantee of that. In fact, Job does say that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to have trials and tribulations in our lives. Life is not going to be easy. Life is not going to be easy for the Christian that's continuing to fight not only against the world, but to fight against Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, the prince and the power of darkness. And it's not going to be easy for us fighting against that old Adamic nature within ourselves. Life's not going to be easy. And so, because life's not going to be easy, because it's going to be full of trouble, James is saying, be patient, and be patient. You close your eyes, it's almost as though you're hearing the members of the Trinity echo this. The forgiving Holy Spirit that convicts us in our souls is yet saying, be patient. The perfect picture of patience, Jesus Christ, saying, be patient. And the forgiving Father that sits upon the throne saying, be patient, dear child. Oh, James says, be patient, be patient, be patient. Patience is not impossible. Otherwise, James would not write of this. Patience is something that we can all have. I mentioned how Christ is the perfect picture of patience. He had rejections upon rejections. He had false accusations. Remember all the trials that He went through with Pilate and through all the other leaders of the Jewish world in that day. And yet, through all of those trials and through all of those false accusations, He was patient, wasn't He? Sure, it would have been easy perhaps for Him to come into this world and maybe about the year of 4 or 5, something along those lines, to offer sacrifice for our sins. But no, that wasn't the right time. That wasn't in due time. There was an appointed time for Christ to die. Paul says that in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That means at the exact right time, at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you know what that means for Jesus Christ? That meant for 33 and a half years, He had to be patient. Despite all the revilings of men, wicked men against Him, despite all the outward temptations that He faced, He had to be patient. And He did it, didn't He? He's the perfect picture of patience. But I say that patience is possible this morning. Not because we can look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was God manifest in the flesh and without sin. That's a wonderful picture of patience. But I'm encouraged this morning because James doesn't say you've heard of the patience of Christ. He says you've heard of the patience of Job. That's encouraging to me. That is good news to me, because there's a difference between Job and my Lord and Savior. My Lord and Savior was absolutely perfect, but Job was a man just like you and I are a man. Christ was a man, but He was a sinlessly perfect man. Job had imperfections. Job was like you and I. Job had sin in his life, but yet, even though He was a man, just like you and I are a man, even though He was impatient at times, even though He was bitter at times, I can still look to the life of Job and find hope for myself that I might be patient even as him. That even amid the darkest and most disturbing of trials and tribulations, I might cry out, "Naked came I forth out of my mother's womb, and naked will I return thither. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." Oh, dear friends, can't you see the patience of Job amid all of that strife? That he said that to his wife when she said, "Curse God and die." He said, shall we receive good of the Lord and not evil also?" Do you see, dear friends, how there was times of impatience and there was time of bitterness in the life of Job. And yet, being a man, he was still able to find a place in the Holy Scriptures as one having more patience perhaps than any other man that lived. You've heard of the patience of Job. And he could say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's a man that's very patient, isn't it? Aren't you glad this morning that he says, "You've heard of the patience of Job and not the patience of Christ"? I'm glad, like I said, because Job and I are very similar in our sinful nature as compared to me and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he says, "You've heard of the patience of Job." I want you to notice the patience that Job had this morning. His patience was a patience in times of great trial and great adversity. You can't have patience without tribulation. Paul said in Romans that tribulation worketh patience. You can't have patience without tribulation. We can all have tribulations and trials, but Job had great tribulations and great trials that he suffered in his life. And in those times, he was a man of patience. He was a man that lost all of his wealth and all of his assets that were taken from him at the same time. I can't imagine the scene and what that must have been like for Job to have one messenger after another coming saying, "You've lost this and you've lost that. You've lost your children. You've lost all of these things." Can you imagine how that must have been for Job? I tell you what, I don't think I could stand that. I'd probably have to fall down to my knees, just put my head on the ground and weep. And in that time, At that time, having lost everything at the same time, Job was a man of patience. He was a man that I said lost all of his wealth and all of his assets, all of the livestock that he had, the houses that he had. Not only did he lose all of that sitting among the rubble, but he was a man that had lost all of his family. You can have financial hardships in life. You can lose things, property along the way. But I doubt there's much greater pain than losing a child. I've never lost a child. Thank God for that. And I pray that I never will. But we're talking about a man here that lost every child that he had. Can you imagine the pain that he must have felt? Can you imagine the agony that he was going through? It's almost impossible to comprehend unless you've lost a child along life's way. But he lost even his family at the same time. Not only did he lose his property, his wealth, his assets, and his family. Not only did he lose those things and still become a man of patience. He struggled with personal afflictions as well. Remember the sores that he got on his body. Those that he just had to scrape with the broken pottery and stuff that was around there. He suffered in his own health as well. I tell you, again, I can't really imagine what that must be like. It's easy when it's someone else, isn't it? When we look at someone else's struggles and we look at what they're going through, it's kind of easy for us to just look at that and not be really moved by it. What's the old saying that the difference between a minor surgery and a major surgery is if you're the patient? It's a minor surgery if somebody else is going through it. It's a major surgery if you're the one on the table. Dear friends, Job suffered in his health as well with great personal afflictions. But then on top of all of this, on top of losing his property and his wealth, on top of losing his family and his children, on top of dealing with personal health issues and personal afflictions, I believe Job had a mental anguish and distress that just perplexed his soul. You see, in this time of Job's life, when he was suffering this great loss, I believe what he needed was some wise counsel. What he needed was some support of his wife and his friends. But he didn't even have that. Job had a wife that was telling him to curse God and die. He had friends that are referred to as miserable comforters. Even though I believe they had good intentions, they were miserable comforters for Job at that time. They would just argue with him and they would accuse him of things. They would just throw dust in his face and salt in his wounds, if you will. He needed wise support and comfort, but instead Job received loneliness. He had nobody that he could count on. I think that's probably one of the worst trials of all. Heartbreaking. How heartbreaking is it to be suffering and there's nobody that knows what you're going through? There's nobody that knows how you feel. How troubling that must be. How lonely that must be. When you go through things in life and nobody seems to care. Nobody really seems to know what you're going through. That mental anguish and distress that must have been weighing on Job at this time, and a feeling of loneliness. Have you ever been lonely? I've been lonely a few times, and it's not a good feeling. Thinking, well, nobody knows. Of course, our Lord knows, and we're thankful for that, aren't we? But Job here was suffering from even that state. I'm telling you, dear friends, these were real struggles. They weren't just small struggles, but what a wonderful testimony we have that we've heard of the patience of Job, the man that endured these things, these real and huge impacts and losses on his life. His patience was a patience of one that was enduring to the end. There were traces of weakness along the way, but they were overlaid, I believe, with patience and endurance along life's way. Towards the end there, he would even cry out that he knows that his Redeemer liveth and shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He says, he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Isn't that a man that's enduring until the end? Not only that, but he became a great power. If I can say that this morning, he became a great power for good in our lives today. Because we can look back and we can say, I've heard of the patience of Job. He's given us an example of patience. He became this power of good, if you will. Who hasn't heard of the patience of Job? I was telling somebody the other day, I'm going to speak on patience. And they said, oh, Job, who hasn't heard of the patience of Job? Or who can't hear of the patience of Job? It's right here in the Word of God. And so he's become as a great example to the Lord's people down throughout the ages of time. And we can compare ourselves and hope, why can't I have the patience of Job? His trials were so much larger than mine. His tribulations were so much greater than mine. He had God to help him along the way. I've got God to help me along the way. He could fall back on the living Redeemer. Why can't I fall back on the living Redeemer? How come I can't fall back on him to a greater extent? Because I know more about the living Redeemer than Job did. Job lived long before the law service. He lived long before those types and shadows of Jesus Christ came into the picture. And yet, he still knew that he had a Redeemer and that his Redeemer lived. Well, now I can look back with the clarity of the New Testament and compare even that to the Old Testament, and I can see Jesus Christ more fully today. Why can't I fall back on him as Job did and have the patience that Job had? I can hope within myself. Why can't I be as Job? It's not impossible. If he can do it, then I can do it. It's not unreasonable to be patient either. After seeing the work of the Lord, notice here James says, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. Again, that means compassionate and of tender mercy. Seeing how the Lord acted in the life of Job, it's not unreasonable then that we would be called to a life of patience. The Lord was with Job at every single stage, wasn't he? He was in the picture. Yes, Satan was in the picture too, his miserable comforters, his wife, but the Lord was still there. He was in every single stage of the tribulations. And the Lord was ruling in it all. He, in fact, on two occasions, as you might recall, limited Satan. Remember, Satan was going to bring hardship upon Job, and the Lord said, well, you just can't touch his body. And then a little bit later, went back to the Lord and he says, well, you just can't touch his life. Twice, the Lord limited the works of Satan. But he was ruling in all of this. Now, let me say this morning that not every trial and not every tribulation that we go through in life is because of the Lord. Don't mistake what I'm saying this morning. Sometimes we have tribulations and problems in life because of our own sinfulness or just because of the happenstance of the day. Solomon says that time and chance happeneth to them all. Sometimes we go through things that the Lord is not necessarily involved in as far as those things coming upon our life. But every trial and every tribulation, even though it may not be from the Lord, it still requires patience. And Job here, as I said, is a wonderful example of that. Some speculate, well, why did these things happen to Job? Why were they brought to pass? Why did the Lord allow these things? Maybe there was a character flaw in Job. Maybe he thought of himself too highly or something of the like. I don't know. You can speculate till the cows come home on that. We'll know one day probably, I believe, when we're sitting in heaven. We don't know the answers to that, but we do know that the Lord was in the matter, and he was with Job in every step of the way. He received two times the grace. He received two times the wealth at the end. But more importantly, I think he received two times the honor. Rather than going down in history as a man that was very wealthy and had more than any other man, rather than going down in history as being a ruler because of that, he went down in history as a man that went through everything and yet came out as a patient man. He is now sitting among those, if you will, that can glorify God even in the trials and the tribulations of life. And I've alluded this too in the past, that he's now lifted to the highest place of usefulness. He's lifted to the highest place of usefulness. You've heard of the patience of Job. Rather than being just a wealthy man, he's a man that now has an enduring reputation of fruitfulness and living for the Lord and being patient in his life. And so now we can look back to that as our example. Who can be blessed by our example of patience? Patience is possible, as I said. Job did it. Why can't I do it? Job is lifted to this place of usefulness. He's lifted to a place of blessing the Lord's people down through the ages of time. But who can be blessed by our patience? Who can be blessed by our example of patience? When we have trials and tribulations, when we have bereavements in life, who can be blessed? Who around us can be blessed by our example? Maybe they'll say, you've heard of the patience of Nathan Meeks. Somebody could be blessed along life's way. I've known many of the Lord's people down through my life that have blessed me. I can look back at some of the struggles that the saints of God have faced, the ones that I'm personally acquainted with. I can see their patience in those struggles, and that's a great example to me. And I hope and pray that I can be an example to others in the future. Even as Job, as I said, throughout all ages now, is an enduring reputation of patience. You've heard of the patience of Job. Behold, we count them happy which endure. I hope this has been of some blessing to you. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Let's stand and sing, how about Amazing Grace?